name is Felicia McClendon, and today I would like to discuss whether or not the spiral of silence theory is still relevant in mass communications today, specifically regarding social media. I'd like to start our discussion off with, first of all, defining what the spiral of silence theory is. The spiral of silence theory is a political science and mass communication theory proposed by the German political scientist Elisabeth Noelle Neumann, which stipulates that individuals have a fear of isolation, which results from the idea that a social group or the society in general might isolate, neglect, or exclude members due to the members' opinions. This fear of isolation consequently leads to remaining silent instead of voicing opinions. Media is an important factor that relates to both the dominant idea and the people's perception of the dominant idea. The assessment of one's social environment may not always correlate with reality. For today's podcast, I would like to introduce a very special guest speaker. I have Associate Professor in Mass Communications Department Chair Richard Reihard of Lindenwood University. Professor Reihard has spent over 32 years at Lindenwood University and has spent over 30 years as Program Director at Lindenwood University radio station KCLC.
That's correct.
Thank you for joining me. So today I wanted to talk to you about the spiral of silence theory and the role that it may or may not play with mass communications. As a former program director, I'm sure that you've witnessed many changes when it has come to mass communications. And can you tell me, let me get your perspective in terms of how you feel the theory has or has not impacted mass communications.
That's kind of a tough question because communications has changed so much in the last, 20 years at least or whatever. I mean, when Elisabeth Noelle Neumann came up with the theory back in the 1970s, we were kind of dealing with this monolithic media, right? Just three television networks and the internet didn't exist as we know it, no social media. And so it was kind of, I don't want to say easy, but it was a really big target to look at. Okay, here's this monster media here, and here's our social interactions with the people we know in our communities. And, does it help push us as a group in a particular way? Mm-hmm. Of course, nowadays, media, it's all over the place, but it's become less monolithic.
Right.
We have a zillion networks, and we have Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all these other new things that old people like myself, we can't even keep up with. And so it's become a little tricky to try to track that. And in fact, in some cases, they've even said, the original spiral of silence as she envisioned it has almost reversed itself because of the power of social media and the power of the minority suddenly to make a bigger change. So it's kind of tough to track it.
Right.
There's a lot of people doing a lot of research right now because, again, the media market and the media scene just keeps changing and the poor researchers have to adjust just to try to keep up.
So it sounds like the speed of mass communications has evolved so quickly that the theory really hasn't kept up. Is that accurate to say?
Well, it is evolving, but yeah, the main theory has not kept up. Back in the day, you had to wait for the evening news.
Right.
There was no 24-hour news cycle. Now we have Fox and CNN and MSNBC and all these other outlets. And, to steal a phrase from 15, 20 years ago, the machine just keeps getting fed with stuff. And it makes it a little tougher.
Right. Yeah. And so in terms of the theory itself, I'm not a social media person. I don't know very much about social media, believe it or not. But in terms of the theory itself, it almost seems like a paradox to say that people would feel less compelled to speak up, especially in terms of social media,
But it seems to me in this day and age, people, because there's so much anonymity when it's pertaining to social media, that people seem to feel more compelled to say things because it is such a nameless, faceless type of environment. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, yes and no. Mm-hmm. In some ways, you're correct that there is this anonymity associated with the internet that can, in some cases, make people speak up. And we have the whole, I call it the 4chan factor, mm-hmm. if you're familiar with 4chan, which is this dark underbelly of the internet where a whole bunch of antisocial people hang out and they live to cause trouble. Mm-hmm. We refer to that nowadays as trolls.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and they'll troll anything and anybody anywhere. And so, you know, they're deliberately, opposing the idea of a socially accepted majority message, mm-hmm. in terms of, well, they're just trying to stir up as much trouble or whatever other word you would like to use as they can. Mm-hmm. And so there's a bit of that. But at the same time, there's also a bit of less anonymity because there's so many more choices.
That's
you
true.
Can find your own little comfortable edge of the internet, mm-hmm. in which there isn't much pushback. There isn't much majority versus minority opinion, and the spiral of silence may not even be functioning there because everybody there has self-selected. Oh, I'm a left-handed skateboarding Presbyterian, and now I'm hanging out with other left-handed skateboarding Presbyterians, and there's nobody pushing back, and mm-hmm. so the spiral just has no place to go. It's everybody's in their own little safe zones, mm-hmm. Locked up in a little room like we are now, and they're, you know, it. We can function on a micro level, but not on a macro level.
Yeah.
And, you know, so the spiral doesn't work. So it's the internet is just making a mess out of everything in terms of trying to carefully track it. They are doing a fairly good job. I've read some articles, where people are starting to apply the social media factors to it, you know. But we do have a bit of a problem with that. And as I alluded to earlier, they're starting to look at Facebook and Instagram and Twitter as being channels for minority opinions, mm-hmm. but now the mainstream media, whatever that is, has started looking at these opinions, mm-hmm. and thinking, oh, well, this is cutting edge. We want to be cutting edge, too. We want to be the latest, the hippest, the newest, whatever term you want to use. So we're doing a lot of time. Our producers and our news writers are doing a lot of time prowling around on social media looking for opinions that may not be the majority opinion, mm-hmm. of, you know, well, the people who are probably too busy to be hanging out on social media too much because they have jobs, and then they're reflecting that. And mm-hmm. that gets put into the mainstream media. So some of the people who aren't hanging out in Twitter or these other online things, they start getting some of that filtering in,
mm-hmm.
From the traditional media sources, and that starts to change and become a majority opinion, which is reverse from what Elizabeth Noel Newman originally started with.
Right.
You know, it's like, okay, you know, it's pushing out the minority opinion, mm-hmm. because the media is involved, and now we're seeing more minority opinions are getting pushed into the debate.
Mm-hmm.
That may be a good thing,
mm-hmm.
Or not. I guess depends on how you feel about it, you know. But it is, the media is suddenly affecting the conversation,
mm-hmm.
and changing things. Now, whether that's organic or, you know, I guess that's for media studies, that's the thing is, well, is media too powerful?
Mm-hmm.
Is it making us do too many things? Should we simply be having real conversations as opposed to depending on some gatekeeper someplace who is picking up inferences off of Twitter or Instagram,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, giving us the latest memes, but that's not real. That's artificial because
right.
it's existing in this strange thing called, you know, the internet. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's the new movie coming out. What is it called? Ralph Breaks the Internet or whatever, and I have not seen it yet. I'm dying to go see it because I know it's probably, but some folks who have seen it have said, it's pretty close in terms of how the internet is kind of at least loosely structured, mm-hmm. and it's like it can be a little disturbing.
Yeah. Well, you touched upon something earlier in terms of the evolution of mass communications, mm-hmm. and thinking more about the Spiral of Cyrus silence theory. Where do you see maybe the research headed when it comes to mass comm in this theory?
Well, again, I think, well, that's the problem is we're trying to play catch up.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking at Twitter. They're looking at Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking at Snapchat.
Yeah.
As far as I know, those are like, 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, kind of obsolete.
To me, it's like, well, oh, Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
But my students are rolling their eyes because, oh, only grandparents use Facebook, you know, and we can't keep up with it. By the time it gets to the research level,
mm-hmm.
You know, they're researching stuff that's already kind of gone past.
Yeah.
Past the cutting edge, the leading edge of things. Now suddenly we have all these new ways of looking at things. It's
right.
Like, you know, we're sitting here and we're recording it, and a podcast is going to go out on the internet, and you know, millions of people, if they wanted to, could hear it.
Mm-hmm.
We could easily have set a camera up here, and they could look at our lovely faces and do all of that. And the technology just keeps getting easier and easier and easier to have more people doing more things.
Mm-hmm.
That's not necessarily a bad thing to have more people doing more things. It adds more voices to the conversation, and that's what, you know, Elizabeth Noel Newman was concerned about was,
mm-hmm.
hey, the spiral is pushing out all the other voices.
Right.
And we just got one monolithic voice.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, so is the spiral still functional? I'm not sure.
Well, it sounds like a double-edged sword. So it seems like you have these different mediums, which means more segmentation, but then also it gives people or more people a platform to be able to speak up and speak out on things. And so how that progresses in the future seems to be unknown.
Yeah, you're a double-edged sword is correct.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a too much.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, back in my day, used to go to music festivals.
Right.
And some of them, you know, had 5 stages. And it's like, okay, there's 5 stages and there's 5 great bands and they're all playing at the same time. Which one do I go to? I got to pick. And if there's a million voices and a million podcasts,
mm-hmm.
Which one do I pick? I can't listen to them all.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just everybody starts drowning everybody else out.
Exactly.
Which, you know, so there's a good and a bad to both sides.
It sounds like there are a lot of unanswered questions about the theory and where it's headed and the role it plays with mass communications, just because mass communications is evolving so much and so quickly. So I really do appreciate your feedback and your perspective about the theory and mass communications. Is there anything else that you would like to share regarding?
No, I think I've gotten myself into enough trouble as it is. Oh, but thank you for having me. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for taking the time to meet with me.
You're more than welcome.
Thank you.
In conclusion, based on Professor Reihard's opinion, mass communication, specifically social media, has evolved faster than researchers have been able to keep up with. Can we conclusively say that the spiral silence theory is still relevant? Well, it's tough to say without additional research. What is known is that mass communications is ever-changing, and there are many more platforms for people to freely express their opinions. But the question also begs, who is doing the talking and who is actually listening? Before I sign off on today's podcast, I want to share with you this quote from American film director David Lynch. He says, "Everyone is on the internet, but they're not all talking with each other. There are groups upon groups out there, but they don't talk to one another. So while the internet brings everyone into a shared space, it does not necessarily bring them together." Until next time, this is Felicia McClendon. Thank you.